Let's take our Bibles tonight and let's turn to Revelation chapter 8 this evening. Revelation chapter 8. Bible says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea, which had life, died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. Many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet, and of the three angels which are yet to sound. Let's pray before continuing tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless our time tonight as we study this important passage. We're praying for your Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us into all truth. Would you fill me and use me and empower me? Bless this time. We even pray as the storm rages that we would maintain power, wouldn't have any disturbances that way. You would protect us that way. We just pray that you would help this time to be profitable. Glorify your holy name in our midst, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, preaching on thunderings and lightnings, and that's going on all around us even tonight. Amen. I guess it'll just add to the sermon here tonight. But tonight here in Revelation chapter 8, we're looking at the first four trumpets. The first four trumpets. Revelation chapter 8 begins with the seventh seal being opened. And you'll remember back in chapter 6, the first six seals were opened. Chapter 7 was a parenthetical, didn't really advance the story. And so now here we are in chapter 8, picking up where we left off at the end of chapter 6. And so if you know the book of Revelation, you know that there are seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, and seven vial, or you could say bowl judgments. And many Bible teachers, myself included, believe that these judgments are all in sequence, in order, in succession. And so that means the seventh seal, especially as we see here in Revelation 8, contains the trumpet judgments. And the seventh trumpet contains the vial or the bowl judgments. That's the best way to understand these next few chapters. But in emphasizing the gravity of the seventh seal, the Bible says in Romans, in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, that there was silence in heaven for the space of about half an hour. You could say the silence was deafening. Now, I want you to just think about that for just a moment. Heaven is a place where typically there is continual praise and singing and worship and prayer being offered up to God day and night, right? It's continually happening in heaven, but yet there is this great pause, and it indicates that something dramatic is about to happen. It indicates that God is allowing this pause so that everyone can await to see what happens next. The Bible says seven angels appear with seven trumpets. And in the Bible, in ancient times especially, trumpets were usually a sign of a battle cry. It was a call to arms, a call to battle, a call to fight. And these trumpets will act as God's battle cry during the tribulation period. But then the Bible talks about another angel appearing. And this angel appears with a golden censer and incense. Now, I want you to look clearly at what the Bible says in verse 3. And another angel came. Some people teach that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what they will say is that, well, he's acting as a mediator here, see? So he's bringing prayer, so it must be Christ. And they might even use illustrations like the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ, or was Christophany in the Old Testament. Here's why I don't believe this is the Lord Jesus Christ. The word says, the Bible says, and another angel. And even in our English, it's easy to understand this, but especially in the Greek, another means in the same order of previously. So the previous seven angels were regular angelic beings. They weren't deity, they weren't Christ. So I believe that verse 3 is talking about your regular angel. It's not Jesus Christ. Especially the book of Revelation is about revealing Christ, not hiding him. And so I think it would have been more clear if this was Christ. But this angel has a golden censer. He's offering incense, which is a symbol of our prayers being offered up to God. The prayers of the saints before the throne of God. It's a very beautiful picture of prayer. And prayer from heaven's perspective. I want you to keep your place here in Revelation 8. Let's go back to chapter 5. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." And I believe we see these descriptions to let us know that there is tremendous power in prayer, but there's also tremendous beauty in our prayers as well. Prayer is such a beautiful thing. And prayer and incense are often closely linked in the Bible. And the idea is that just as incense is precious, it's valuable, it's pleasant, and it drifts up to the heavens. And so when we pray, it's a precious, valuable aroma in the sight of God. And it lets us know that when we pray to God, we never bug God. Sometimes we might bug each other, you know that? Don't say amen right there. Don't say, especially husbands and wives. Sometimes we bug each other. We talk too much to each other. We feel like, hey, this person keeps bugging me. But our prayers never bug God. They're always a delight to God. Just like a precious aroma, this incense, he delights in our prayers. And here in Revelation chapter 8, we aren't told the exact content of the prayers, but we do see the result. The result of this prayer will be the climactic events of the tribulation period set in motion. We already saw in Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, the martyrs were crying out, looking for vindication and resolution, right? I'll read to you Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And this is what you might call an imprecatory prayer. You see them oftentimes in the Psalms where God's people or David are praying, "Lord, will you not judge these wicked ones? Will you not do something about the evil happening in the world?" And it's okay to pray prayers like that. It's biblical to pray prayers like that, that God would vindicate holiness and righteousness and judge evil. All of us, we want to see evil dealt with. You don't want to live in a society where evil reigns. We're living in a world today where people want to remove authority. People want to remove the punishment of evildoers, and we're calling evil good and good evil. And we ought to pray and say, Lord, would you vindicate righteousness? Vindicate we as your people. That's a part of our, what we can pray for as Christians. But these martyrs are crying out for vindication. And the Bible says that this angel took the golden censer, filled it with fire at the altar, and he cast it into the earth. And as soon as he did that, there were thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. We've got 2 out of 3 right now. And so, again, it's not fulfillment right now, amen? But these symbolize that the golden censer was a symbol of judgment to come. And now the stage is being set for these 7 trumpet judgments. And so, number one, the first trumpet is given to us here in verse number 7. The first angel sounded, the Bible says, and he brings a plague of hail, just like the 10th plague on Egypt back in the book of Exodus. And this plague of hail will have a tremendous impact on the vegetation of the earth. In fact, 1/3 of the trees and all the green grass are burned. Now, that's a big deal. I know we live in New York and we think milk comes from the corner store, but actually agriculture is vitally important to our society. And I thank God for the farmers and those that work hard to feed us, especially feeding the big cities. And the Bible says that God is going to deal with even our agriculture, meaning food is going to be even more scarce in the tribulation period. Many people wonder, how exactly will this happen? And they wonder, will it happen through some phenomenon that we currently see today? Maybe this represents nuclear fallout. Maybe this represents natural, maybe it represents pollution or something like that happening. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us for sure. What the Bible is telling us is that these aren't just quote-unquote natural disasters. These aren't just, well, Mother Nature's at it again. You know, it's so interesting. Whenever you watch the news, it's always like, well, Mother Nature has something planned for us this weekend. And it's always like it's some impersonable force that's causing things. And the Bible is clear. When these judgments come, people will know this is from God. This is not just impersonal forces of nature. This is God pouring out his wrath. And the key here is that these aren't just simple natural disasters that can be written off and easily dismissed. And God can use whatever method he wants to bring this judgment, but people on the earth will know that these events come from him. Number 2, we see the second trumpet, verses 8 and 9. The second angel brings along the second trumpet with another great judgment upon the earth, this time dealing with the sea. And the Bible says in verse 8, John saw as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. I believe when we see that phrase, as it were, you could say like, I think he's using a metaphor to describe something that wasn't exactly a mountain, but it appeared like a mountain. So some people say perhaps this is a meteor, right? A huge, massive piece that slams into the earth with great fire, some type of meteor. And the Bible says 1/3 of the seas become as blood. And 1/3 of the creatures of the sea die. 1/3 of the ships are destroyed. Again, we see another similarity with one of the plagues of Egypt, when the Nile River was turned into blood. Then number 3, the third trumpet. The Bible says in verse 10, the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon 1/3 of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And so the Bible describes here this great star that's burning, that again could be another reference to some type of comet or other heavenly body that slams into the earth. There could be another reference to that happening here again. And this star here is named Wormwood, which apparently is going to make all the water become bitter, resulting in the death of many people. And this reference to bitter waters reminds us of a few references to bitter waters in the Old Testament. I want to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 15. The prophet Jeremiah says, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. So this was not God promising a nice, refreshing beverage for good prophets. No, this is judgment, right? So we see wormwood, bitterness, right? A reference to judgment. If you remember, the children of Israel, when they had pretty much just escaped from Egypt, God delivered them from Egypt. And the Bible said they arrived at a place called Marah, place of bitter waters. Remember, what do? They gripe. They complain, of course. I mean, that's probably what you would have done, too. Don't think you're much better than they are. And they murmur, they complain. And the Bible describes how God solved that problem for them in a great miracle. He allowed Moses to dip the tree into the water to cause it to become sweet. Well, here we see that this wormwood arrives into the water and it turns sweet water bitter. And John Walvoord said this regarding this passage. He said, such also is the contrast between Christ on the cross atoning for sin and making that which is bitter sweet, and Christ coming in judgment, which turns the vain hopes and ambitions of men into bitterness and despair. The result of this trumpet is to inflict a divine judgment from God upon men themselves. And so we rejoice that now is the age of grace, that Christ has come to turn the bitter sweet. But in that day will be the day of judgment, where sweet becomes bitter. And then number four tonight, the fourth trumpet, we see in verses 12 and 13, the fourth trumpet brings a plague upon the heavens. And the Bible describes that one third of the day and night are plunged into absolute darkness. Jesus talked about this. He predicted this would happen. In Matthew 24, verse 29, he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And so we see here that God's going to cause darkness. Again, another link to the plagues in Egypt here. And what can we observe when we see these judgments come here in chapter 8? Because I think God is sending a specific message through these judgments. They're not just random. They're not just haphazard. There's a specific message, purpose behind why God is sending these first four judgments. I believe God is attacking all of the basic means of sustenance for humanity, right? Our food, water, all the ordinary means, light, right? You think about how the rhythm of life is dependent on, you know, the sun coming up, the sun going down, right? Our mornings and evenings. And God is going to completely disrupt that. And God is showing us that all of the common graces of creation, you know, there's wonderful graces that we all enjoy from God. Whether you're saved or lost, there's wonderful common graces that we enjoy in the creation. Again, we talked about agriculture feeding us and obviously the water that we need that's so vitally important. And all of the God's creation that we take for granted, that sinners take for granted today. That sinners think that they have it all figured out and they fail to give the credit to our God in heaven. God is going to disrupt all of that. God is going to prove himself as sovereign over his creation. Nature works with a beautiful precision. It's like clockwork. And it's all according to our God's wisdom and our God's power. But sadly, most people don't give God credit for that. Sadly, some people will worship the creation, but not the Creator. That's what Paul said in Romans 1:25. He said, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. So the sun, moon, and stars, they ought to be pointing us to our God and his wondrous power and might and wisdom. And they're frequently mentioned in the Bible as evidence of our God's power and might. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Well, I believe now, as we look around, we ought to be seeing how precise and beautiful and orderly our universe is. And if you're wise, you'll realize that it comes from God. But in this day of judgment, God is going to display his sovereignty and his lordship in a different way. He's going to display his lordship through these mighty disturbances of his creation. So he said, oh, you're used to the sun coming up and coming down. You're used to having food and water. Well, I'm going to disrupt all of that to show you that it's not Mother Nature. It's always been me. And these divine judgments are going to indicate our God's in control. Verse 13 of Revelation chapter 8 says, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 13 indicates that the next three trumpets, there's still three more, the last three trumpets will be far more severe than the first four. What does it mean, inhabitants of the earth? One Bible teacher said it means not just people living in the earth, but people who are content to only focus on the earth. The worldly people. People who think that it's just all about this life, and they have no mind, no concern for eternity. And God pronounces woe unto people like that. But this verse and this passage indicates that God is really just getting started with judgment on the earth. It would be terrible to be caught in this judgment on that day. I've always tried to end our study of Revelation as an appeal for anyone that's lost, that's not saved, that now is the time to get right with God, to get saved, because now is this age of grace. Now is this time of peace where Christ has come to die for your sins. Now is the time to repent. But in this day, it's a day of judgment. This is the wrath of God being poured out. Don't wait till then. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you for the opportunity to study these important passages of Scripture, and help us, Lord, as we seek to gain an understanding of these passages. Lord, you saw fit to record them, to preserve them. Lord, I certainly want us to read them, study them. And Lord, as we look at the signs of the times, I pray that it will let us know that your coming is near. And as Christian people, we thank God for the rapture. But we do pray that we would be ready for that day. We pray for those that are lost, many of whom we know. Lord, we pray for their salvation. We have many unsaved loved ones connected to our church family, friends, and neighbors. Lord, it'd be a shame to see them caught up in this, all of these fierce judgments. And so, Lord, I pray that as Christian people, we would be faithful in getting the gospel out and warning them. May we see many coming to Christ. Lord, use this unique time even to have people consider the things of God and consider the gospel, and use us to be there, to be the lighthouse that you've called us to be. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.